Hello everyone and welcome here on Patchwork Heart Radio, Radio 4, the Catholic Heart. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, and on today's podcast episode, we are going to talk about the First Commandment. You know, I think the First Commandment doesn't get enough attention. In our prayer lives, we find ways to gloss over this commandment. Most Catholics I know say, I am the Lord your God, you shall not make any graven image of me, yada yada yada. Good, I've done that. Now I'll move on to the more interesting things that I've done or not done on the list of 10. You know, the First Commandment is of chief importance in our lives, but we don't always put it there. You know, we think if we're faithful, if we are good people, then we must love God. But that's not necessarily a given. I'm pretty sure that God did not deliver the First Commandment to Moses and his chosen people with the Seinfeld-esque attitude that we sometimes in our heads think about it. When we do an examination of conscience and we go to confession, a lot of us Catholics go, yeah, yada, 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 I got that first one, that's nailed, yeah, I love Jesus, I love God, and I don't have to think about it much anymore. And the issue, I think, is just that, you know, this lackadaisical attitude for believers, but it's coupled with the belief from the secular world that God is just sort of one of the boys. You know, God isn't all that important. They don't understand God the way believers understand God. And so, well, then they're just going to go through life like, God's one of the boys, you know. Every once in a while I can talk to him on Sunday, maybe my wife is real religious and I gotta attend church, you know, just to make her happy. Or my parents like to go to church, so when I'm home, I'll go to church with them to make them happy and make them feel good. And instead of us replying with, no, God is so incredible, let me tell you about him, we go, well, God is God. If you knew him, you'd understand. We don't have the fervor and the passion sometimes when we try to convey how much we love God. We just go, yeah, 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 I understand it, I get it, I move on now. But the Catechism calls us. It calls us out and says we cannot be just passive in our acknowledgement of God. We must be active, and this is what it says. I love that it comes from paragraph 2085, and it says, the one true God reveals his glory to Israel. The revelation of the vocation and the truth of man is linked to the revelation of God. Man's vocation is to make manifest God by acting in conformity with his creation, in the image and likeness of God. You see, there is what we are called to do, to follow God, and to know God, and to love God. The Catechism goes on to state, in paragraph 2086, it says, the First Commandment embraces faith, hope, and charity. When we say God, when we confess a constant, unchangeable being, always the same, faithful, and just, without any evil. It follows that we must necessarily accept his words and have complete faith in him and acknowledge his authority. He is almighty, merciful, and infinitely beneficent. Who could not place all hope in him? Who could not love him when contemplating the treasures of goodness and love he has poured out upon us? Hence, the formula God employs in the scripture at the beginning and the end of his commandments, I am the Lord. So God is chiefly important. Right? God is chiefly important. And we must respond to him. We must respond to him with faith, hope, and love. In fact, that catechism quote actually puts the burden back upon us. We are then called to show God's glory and put it on display for all to see. You know, it's hard to do sitting from our sofas on Saturday mornings for 5 hours watching the same SportsCenter repeat over and over again. How many times can you actually watch SportsCenter, guys? How many times can you actually see the same clips and highlights over and over? Doesn't that get boring? Can't we pick up a Bible? Can't we go out for coffee with our friends and do a little bit of conversion, living a life showing the glory of God? You know, there's some dangers that our church warns us against when we don't show our love for God. We can fall into these three main categories. There's actually five, but I'm going to touch upon three here today. I think these three are chiefly present in our world. And they're sinful actions. The Catechism talks about these three things: indifference, ingratitude, and lukewarmness, as all sinful. Catechism 2094 says, one can sin against God's love in various ways. First, indifference. Indifference neglects or refuses to reflect on divine charity. It fails to consider the preeminent goodness and denies its power. There it is. It neglects or refuses to reflect on the divine charity. Indifference is just like, oh, who cares about God? And if we don't demonstrate our faith to others, if we are indifferent about our faith, it leads others to believe. It's a sin because it leads others to believe that God isn't of supreme importance in our lives, and honoring him isn't necessary for our salvation, which is quite possibly the largest lie Satan gives us in society. You don't have to honor him. You don't have to praise him. You don't have to do that. God is not that great. Just be indifferent. Yeah. You see, the holes show clearly in Satan's plan when we punch light through the holes. Right? If the punch card is hidden in the darkness all the time, we'll never see how many holes are in it. We have to shine the light through it. And then you can see how many holes he has in his philosophies. So, there's number one. Ingratitude is the second. Ingratitude fails or refuses to acknowledge divine charity and return him love for love. We've got to thank God. We've got to thank God for all the things that he has done for us in our lives. Yeah, he's done really good things, hasn't he, in your life? He's blessed you abundantly. When was the last time you thanked him? And you see, if we don't thank God for the many blessings he's bestowed upon us, it can lead others to believe that we are self-sufficient, and lead ourselves into believing that we are self-sufficient and autonomous, and we don't need his grace. You see, that's the problem. In society today, we watch commercials on television. Have a moment to yourself. You deserve it. The Kit Kat bar. The Kit Kat bar is possibly the oldest secular emblem of that. Right? You deserve a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of the Kit Kat bar. Yeah, just, I've earned it. I've done it. But really, the only way that we are able to do it, the only way that we're able to succeed, is because God has gifted us with life and free will and grace. And if we don't thank God for our life, our free will, and our grace that is carrying us through every moment, then we can say, oh yeah, I'm self-sufficient. I'm autonomous. I don't need God. I don't need him. And that is ingratitude. It's sinful. It's sinful not to thank God for his love. Lukewarmness is the last one I'll touch on here. And lukewarmness is hesitation or negligence in responding to God's love. It can imply refusal to give oneself over to the prompting of charity. Lukewarmness is, yes, I know, and this is possibly the biggest one in the bunch of the three. This is probably the most dangerous one of the three, because it says, I know God exists, I know God loves me, I know that I need him, but I'm not going to respond to him. That's what lukewarmness is in faith. It's being tepid. It's refusal to give yourself over to God's love. God, I know you love me. I know you are so great, but I'm really better off by myself. I understand it all. I know it all. But I'm not going to make any effort to do more. I'm not going to make any effort to go forward and growing your love. I'm comfortable where I am. And that is so sinful. You see, it's so wrong for us to believe that, because we believe then that we are just going to stay here in this comfortable comfort zone and never go and accomplish great things with God by our side. You see, God's calling us to be on fire for him. And are we going to be on fire for him every moment of our lives? We'd like to think yes, but reality is no. The reality, no, we're not really ever going to be 100% on fire for God. We're going to have periods of coldness and lukewarmness, but he's calling us to do more. And when we find ourselves lukewarm, we have to go out and say, okay, I need to be more committed. I need to jump in more. God, what else are you asking me to do in my life? What else do I need to be praying with you for? Who can I help? Who can I serve? And that's exactly what lukewarmness goes to highlight. It says that God doesn't require anything from us. If we are lukewarm, we believe that God doesn't require anything from us. You're content with me, God. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm lukewarm. You don't need anything from me. You're fine by yourself. And it also is like, well, we can respond to God whenever we choose, you know? It's like we can just go out and respond to God and say, woohoo! You know, yay, I did it today, but I don't have to do it tomorrow. And this is how we perpetuate evil in the world. It's happened so quickly. It allows false gods to grow within our hearts. It really does. And if we don't combat some of these issues, if we don't in our own hearts, and we don't make the effort inside of us to respect and obey the first commandment, then we're out of luck. We're out of luck for the remaining nine if the first one, we don't pay attention to it. Yada, yada, yada just doesn't cut it. So what do we do to stop these evils from creeping in to our lives and our society? I think they've already crept into our society, but how do we keep them from creeping into our lives? The simple answer is become people of prayer. That is as simple as it gets. Prayer directs our thoughts and our hearts and our actions toward God and toward charity and toward love. It helps us steer us away from vice. When we talk about these theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, or faith, hope, and charity, prayer directs our minds toward those. And it steers us away from vice, because we're united more closely with God. Are we going to be perfect people? No. But prayer helps us remain vigilant and stand with confidence before the Lord. Right in the Gospel of Luke, God says, you know, when you see all of these crazy things happening, stand erect. You know that your redemption is at hand. Right? When you see the world becoming selfish and indifferent and not gracious or lukewarm, you just stand firm. How do we do that? We pray. Prayer cultivates our relationship with God. And it roots us in the truth, and it leads us to honor and respect Him. You know, we keep the first commandment if we commit ourselves to prayer. It's that simple, but it's that challenging. So that's what I leave you with today. I leave you with some thoughts about the first commandment. I also encourage you to continue to check out the many great things that we have on our website at patchworkheart.org. Read our blogs. Listen to more of our podcasts. The preceding podcast is an incredible one. Connie Anderson's Witness Talk, A Life Rewritten. Check it out. Her talk on that podcast on the previous one is just incredible. Listen to her words as she shares an incredibly heartbreaking story, but one that truly will bring you closer to God in your own life. That's what God has truly anointed her to really share her story. So we're honored to be able to bring it to you here on Patchwork Heart Radio and Patchwork Heart Podcasts. So we thank you again for listening, and again, check out patchworkheart.org. That's our website. It's got all the goodies on there. I'm your host, Bill Slater. Until next time, keep beating to your Catholic heart.